almost impossible to fathom the destruction caused by last summer's bushfire season. 8 million hectares of bushland destroyed. 3 billion animals killed or displaced. This massive scale isn't just hard to fathom, it's also really hard to measure. So in an effort to better understand how plants and animals are recovering, a team of UNSW researchers set up a community citizen science project that's now yielded 13,000 observations of over 2,000 different species. Among those observations are some pretty remarkable stories of new life and recovery. And to tell us more about them, we are joined by UNSW Senior Research Fellow Mark Uy. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Roy.
Now, tell us about this citizen science project your team set up and why projects like this are so important.
Well, as you said, it's partly about the sheer scale of what happened last year. It's unprecedented. Just in New South Wales alone, there was over 5.5 million hectares burnt. And it's just to be able to get researchers out into across those sorts of fire grounds, it's really difficult and it's really expensive. And so one of the new ways, I guess, that people have been looking at research is to use citizens. Citizens become scientists. And this project called the Environment Recovery Project, it was set up by Casey Kirchhoff, who's one of the researchers here. She's doing a PhD here at UNSW. And her house was part of the damage that the fires caused. She lost her home. And she was wandering around taking photos. She loves plants. She's a plant, self-described plant nerd. And she started recording things, just taking photos around her property. And then she thought, and then posting on social media, and she thought, well, if I can do this, we can put something out there so that a lot more people can start to do this. And she set up the Environment Recovery Project, which is on the iNaturalist app. And it's simply a matter of taking photos of things you see walking around in the bush after the fires, when it's safe to do so, obviously, and putting it up there. And that allows us, the more people that take photos, the more data we get.
Yeah, right. And so you've put together an article that details five of the most remarkable stories this project has yielded so far. And I'd like to go through some of these now. What's the first one?
There's a range of, I guess, some of our favourite stories of recovery. And so the first one is the greater glider. It's probably not one of our most famous animals, but it's one of the, those things that have those little wings between their ankles and their wrists,
And
they fly between
trees. They're furry.
They're furry. They've got a long tail, the greater gliders. Yeah. You can see them spotlighting at night. And because of the scale of the fires and the severity of them, it was just uncertain whether or not some of those animals could survive. And then a couple of photos came through the Environment Recovery Project, and they showed out in Wollamai, a couple of gliders still there. We don't quite know how they managed to survive or what they've been eating since the fires, because with such a large area, it's harder for them to disperse into unburnt areas to get food.
Oh, right.
And so it's a remarkable story of resilience, but also it's still an open question as to how they managed it and how they're going to go into the future.
And how, just out of interest, how do you know that in all the photos that are being taken, that you don't have like one photo or one thing that's being taken a photo of by three different people?
Oh, well, the thing with this is with lots of data coming in, all the photos are geolocated, so we know exactly where they are.
Okay, cool.
We know that, so it might be occasionally the same animal, but usually we know it's more a benefit of the numbers, the sheer volume of stuff that comes in, that helps us kind of understand sometimes the timing of when things come back. So just for example, now I think we're heading for about 14,000 observations, 14,000 different photos.
Yeah, right.
Anything from slime molds to greater gliders.
Slime molds, they're sneaking in there. I love that.
That's right. Yeah, there's people out there that love slime molds. So
stop it. Stop it. Who are those people?
Yeah, I haven't met many, I must say. But yeah, they're out there.
We need them, though. We need them.
That's right.
Tell us about one of the other stories from that you've seen throughout the project that's kind of been quite remarkable.
Well, one of my favourites, I'm a plant ecologist and I like my plants and a plant.
Do you have a lot of plants at home?
I do. I won't say, it's a bit like, you know, you often see architects who maybe their house is always halfway through being finished. I'm a bit like that with my garden.
Okay.
So, we've got the pink flannel flower, which we've also written about in this. And this has gained a lot of attention both across Australia and around the world as well, partly because these pink flannel flowers spend most of their time living as seeds underground and then in the soil. And then once the fire comes through, there's chemicals in the smoke that wakes the seeds up. And then once the right temperatures happen, then they germinate. The seeds germinate into seedlings and then full pink flower blooms across, at the moment, all across the Blue Mountains and further south. And then they last around a year, and then they produce their baby seeds that go back in the soil, and then the plants die, and that's it. You won't see them again for another, well, till the next fire, and that could be decades.
Wow. Oh, wow. Actually, now that you say that, I feel that it has gained there's an Instagram thing going on with people having photos with the pink flannel flowers out
in
the Blue Mountains.
They've become, you know, one of the Insta favourites, I think.
They've gone viral.
That's right.
Is the Citizen Science Project still going? And if so, how can people get involved?
It is. And the more people get involved, the better. So we're hoping to continue this, not only just to look at the recovery after these massive fire events we had last year, but also into the future after future fire events. And we still want people to go out and record recovery after the 2019-20 fires, because we want that longevity of recovery. It doesn't, they don't come back in an instant. And so people can look for the Environment Recovery Project. It's download the iNaturalist app and then look for the project within that. And then you simply take a photo, upload that photo to the app, and then we can look at it, and you don't even have to know the species. We've got the community that's involved in iNaturalist. There's experts there who will identify species, including slime molds, like I told you about.
I was about to say, and, even slime mold, they'll identify that, will they?
Even slime mold. That's right. Oh, someone will ID it, I'm sure. So. but there's links. If you go to there's a conversation article that you've been talking about that we wrote yesterday, and there's some links there to the Citizen Science Project that people can press and have a look.
Can click on and have a look. Oh, Mark, thank you so much for your time this morning. It sounds a really fascinating story in terms of, you know, the fires happened I would say every now and then we wonder about, okay, well, what actually happens to the land now and what happens to the animals and how does it ever come back? And this is a great way to kind of follow that. So really appreciate your time and your efforts.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Have a great day. Bye.
Okay, see ya.